Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing all things Nashville Predators. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Good morning, everybody.
Adam, we were talking about Drew Brees in the last segment. As a Saints fan, do you want him back? Or would you rather go with Jameis Winston?
I want him back unless the Saints can get Russell Wilson.
Okay. What about Deshaun Watson?
Of course. But, the Saints aren't going to get anybody. They have, they're $100 million over the cap.
They got a lot of work to do.
So I don't think they're getting anybody. But I'll take Drew over everybody but Russell Wilson because, I like Russell Wilson. And the Saints had success with undersized quarterbacks.
Okay. So I just wanted to get your opinion. We were taking a running tally on how this was going to go. So we'll see whether or not Drew Brees decides to come back.
I swear we'll get to hockey in a minute.
Are you going to totally derail this like you did last week?
I might. Do you think he was
pushing that sled very well.
He was.
In the parking lot.
So is he trolling everybody or do you think he's coming back? And how much do you attribute last season's awful childlike throwing of the ball to injuries?
He had, 11 cracked ribs and a collapsed lung?
Is that all, Drew?
That's all, right? Other than that, everything was fine. I mean, I still think Drew Brees gives them a better chance to win than Jameis Winston in the next couple of years, but we're not talking about my man, Taysom Hill. Quite personally, I feel like Zion Williamson should be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. He'll fix them.
Thank you. We appreciate that, Adam. Adam, getting to the local professional hockey team here, what did you think of, number one, UC Saros starting his third game in four nights last night, and what did you think of the hit that took him out of the game by Nino Niederreiter? By the way, Nino Niederreiter has been fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA, so it doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of suspension coming for him. What did you think of that hit? Do you think maybe it warranted a look at a suspension?
It wasn't great. But I did not see malicious intent on the play. From the replay that was available to us, it simply looked like they collided, smacked heads. I didn't see Nino Niederreiter going headhunting behind the net. So I did not think it was up to the level of a suspension. I think a fine is probably what I would have expected. $5,000, that'll teach a multimillionaire not to screw up. But starting three games in four nights, it's what John Hines told you last week. The goalie that's playing well, that's going to give them the best chance to win is the goalie he's going to go with. And he had two good games over the weekend against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it made sense, for him to play last night. What's interesting to me is that he played for the rest of that period. That hit happens 5 minutes into the game. He finished the period and then was taken out for Pecorine. So I don't know if whatever happened to him didn't start, bothering him until intermission or what. But, if it was a serious injury, perhaps he should have been taken out of the game sooner. But the Predators have a ton of, they've been hurt by injuries throughout the season. And, yesterday was sort of a quadruple whammy between Saros, Brian Ellis, Luke Cunningham, and Ryan Johansson.
All right, haven't been able to read it yet, kind of doing a show here, but I see that you've tweeted out, and I've retweeted your piece, which is basically, it's over, Preds. So why right at this moment? Why right at this moment is it over, Adam?
You have to consider where this team is. They're 10-12, right? I'm not wrong about that.
You're correct.
They're 10-12. Eight of their next nine games are against Carolina, Florida, and Tampa. They're missing their number two defenseman, their quote-unquote number one center, an important depth winger, and their one of their goaltenders. It's not getting any better anytime soon. I just don't see the path for this team anymore. And the longer they wait, the worse it can get. And I wrote a story on Monday that was published on Monday, what to expect when you're rebuilding, a how-to guide of sorts. And I spoke to two former assistant GMs with practical experience in rebuilds. And, you know, one of the lessons that they imparted upon me is that the longer a team waits to accept reality, the deeper a hole that organization digs for itself. You know, I don't think any good can come out of the Predators holding on to whatever sliver of hope they think they have to make the playoffs, because, you know, our stats guru at The Athletic, Don Lecision, gives them a 7% chance of making the playoffs. It's not happening, and for the betterment of this organization today and in the future, they need to accept reality, and as you said, Rex Rode, my personal feeling, it's over. They need to start moving on.
Adam Vidkin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, a guy that you've talked about for the last few weeks here has been Mattias Ekholm. Obviously, we've seen how important he is to this group since he's come back into the lineup here in the last three games. We had Jeff Merrick on from Sportsnet yesterday and just talked about the value that Ekholm could have at the deadline. If that's the way the Predators decide to go and Ekholm is available, what sort of return do you think that he could fetch for this team?
Well, he's been playing great since he came back from injury. And I like the piss and vinegar. Can I say that? Well, I already did. The piss and vinegar that we saw from Mattias Ekholm last night. He said it after the game, and we know this about Mattias Ekholm. He thrives on emotion. And I feel like that's been lacking from this group. They need more of that. But Mattias Ekholm is, to me, this team's best trade asset. And over at The Athletic, you know, our colleagues Craig Custance and Eric Duhacek put out their NHL deadline trade big board, and number one was Mattias Ekholm. And, you know, I wrote a story about this a couple of weeks ago, and there are two trades that have come to mind that I think serve as the framework for a potential Mattias Ekholm deal. One is the January 2019 trade that the Maple Leafs made with the Los Angeles Kings for Jake Muzzin, which involved a first-round pick and two prospects, one forward prospect and the signing rights to a defensive prospect who's now under contract. And the February 2020 trade that the Kings made with the Vegas Golden Knights for Alec Martinez, which included two second-round picks, a 2020 and 2021 second-round pick. You know, for me, I'm looking more at the Muzzin model for Ekholm. I think he's absolutely worth a first-round pick and at least one prospect. And I think at this point, it doesn't make sense to hold on to him. You also have to take into consideration the expansion draft. We've talked about this at length as well. You know, if the Predators were to go with the 7-3-1 model, are you protecting Mattias Ekholm over Dante Fabbro? I don't think so. So it just makes sense. And it would be hard because Mattias Ekholm, he's been a great leader and a great player for this organization. He's played such a role in this team's regular season success and their run to the Stanley Cup final in 2017. But from a financial standpoint and from a rebuilding standpoint, you know, his market is as high as it's probably ever been, and they need to take advantage of that.
By the way, you're allowed to say that word once, but not twice, so you will be getting a bill for a fine.
From the FCC.
That's right, coming up. All right, well, let's talk. I'm trying to think of then, as we move into trade land, things about this actual team we can talk about. One guy is Elli Tolvanen. I'd like to know what you think about what we've seen lately. Are we seeing someone who is going to be a part of this reformed team on the other side?
I think we are. I mean, I've been really impressed, you know, especially with his play on the power play. I mean, that's his bread and butter. And this team, one thing that's actually going right for this team lately is their power play. Which is hard to believe. And I'm still not retiring the Simpsons gift yet, Rex Rhodes. They're not going to be a top 10 team, I don't think.
So high standard.
They can keep climbing the standings. They can keep climbing the power play rankings, but until they reach top 10, the Simpsons gift is here to stay. But Elli Tolvanen has played a significant role in that. You know, I've really liked what I've seen. And I asked John Hines yesterday if there's a player that he has previously coached whose development track reminds him of Elli Tolvanen, that he mentioned Nico Hischier, who was a number one draft pick for the New Jersey Devils, and talked about how when Hischier came into the league, you know, he was playing on a reduced role, and you know they took their time with him, and John Hines said by the end of the 17-18 season he was centering Taylor Hall to a Hart Trophy season. Now, you know, Ellie Tolvanen is not Nico Hischier. But, you know, they have been patient with Ellie Tolvanen. And I think you are starting to see, you know, perhaps the fruits of that patience. So, you know, he has been a bright spot. And, you know, I agree. I feel like if this team is going to be turned over, you know, he is one of those players that is going to play a prominent role in their near future. So I really liked what I've seen from Tolvanen. I've been very impressed.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Adam, appreciate you as always, my friend. Thanks for taking time to join us.
All right, gentlemen. Porth, I'm sorry I said piss. That's the third time. You can tell me for that.
Adam Vinken from The Athletic, ladies and gentlemen, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Adam had to say there and give some final thoughts on this anniversary 1 year ago today, the tornado ripping through our communities here in the Middle Tennessee area. We've had some great conversation all show long about that, looking back on a memorable and tragic day here in Nashville and in the Middle Tennessee area. We'll do that again coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.